You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into the latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Setter, and joined by Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue, as we're going to recap the Colts' 41-21 win in Detroit over the Lions on Sunday. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Evan. How are you?
Doing well, and I know, obviously, we're back on Monday to recap an impressive win for the Colts. And I know it was a little bit nip and tuck there in the second and third quarters, but I think really impressed to me, what was the most impressed to me, Stephen, honestly, was how the Colts blew it open in the fourth quarter of that game, the second half, really, the end of the third quarter and on, where they outscored the Lions 21-7. And really the main pivotal point of that game was Darius Leonard and that forced fumble he had on a strip sack where the Lions were driving on the field about to tie up the game there. And then Leonard, the maniac, changed the game there. I think the biggest impression to me from Sunday, outside of that Leonard play and just that momentum shift it had in that game, was just the defense itself here. Continually, week in, week out, Steven, this defense is starting to prove here that they are very legit, and we're going to really know the next three or four games how good they truly are. But this hit, to the first seven games of the season, Stephen, it's a polar opposite of what's been the last 10-plus years in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's what's kind of crazy is how well this defense has played. And they've, over the past handful of weeks, they've been pretty consistent, and especially in the second half of games, where you saw this with the previous regime that – the second half, they would just fall apart. The Colts, I think, in the Chuck Pagano era, had the lead going into halftime pretty frequently and somehow would consistently lose the game. This team and this coaching staff has got these guys where, yeah, okay, they seem to start out slow and everything to start the game, but once halftime hits in that second half, they really kind of turn up the energy and they turn up the intensity, and they're able to make plays. I mean, shoot, like you said, the Colts defense really changed that game with the Darius Leonard forced fumble, Colts score, a touchdown on that drive, and then immediately 8 seconds later, it's a pick six for Kenny Moore, I believe. And so, I mean, that's 15 points in 8 seconds for a team, which is crazy in and of itself. But it really just shows how quickly a game can turn when you have a defense that's really putting pressure. And the Colts defense was able to get pressure with their front four. Tyquan Lewis played a heck of a game, something that we've all been kind of waiting for him. And he's shown in the limited number of snaps that he's gotten that he can really produce if given the opportunity. It's kind of what we've said about Marcus Johnson, is when they've given him the opportunity, he's really kind of shown up and played. And you've seen that this year. I'd be remiss to not bring up how big of an impact DeForest Buckner has played in this defense and the return of Darius Leonard. They're just a different defense with Darius Leonard on the field.
Yeah, it really does show a lot, too. I know in the box score, it will show that DeForest Buckner didn't do much yesterday. He just had one tackle in the box score, no QB hits, nothing else like that. But his presence out there really helped guys, like you mentioned, like Tyquan Lewis, Grover Stewart, Danico Autry. I think Autry and Lewis themselves had multiple sacks in this game on Sunday, really helping open up that pressure, play next to Buckner as well. Speaking of Lewis for a moment, Stephen, we talked about, I think, in August when training camp was going on during the COVID-19 pandemic and still wondering whether the season was going to happen or not. It's so impressive to finally see Tyquan Lewis really hit it off now, because you saw in Cincinnati last week, limited snaps, 5 tackles and a half sack. This week he starts over Danico Autry, has even better production. He has 2.5 sacks in this game, or excuse me, 2 sacks in this game, to go on with a couple tackles, a couple QB hits as well. I think Tyquan Lewis, we're really starting to see the true breakout now, Stephen, for Tyquan Lewis. So that's the case. You add in Kamoka Touré here in a week or two. That 2018 draft class, it was already historic in the first place by Colts GM Chris Ballard. But if Tyquan Lewis is a hit now, Stephen, I mean, that's a nearly flawless, perfect draft class he had in 2018.
Yeah, when you look back on it, and if Tyquan Lewis does continue this ascension, like we're seeing, and Kamoka Touré goes back to the form that we saw to begin the season last, or the beginning of last season, where he was almost unblockable to start the year before his ankle injury. And so if those two guys can really come up and play, it literally could be one of the best draft classes in modern NFL history. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, but that really is the case. Like, you'd have, you know, two all pros, you would have a starting right tackle, you have a, you've got a starting defensive end on both sides. So two starting defensive ends, a elite pass rusher, you've got all these other great players. It's almost unheard of for a general manager to really hit in his first five picks in any draft. And that's just seems like what they're doing, like what he's done. It's really, really crazy to see how well Chris Ballard has drafted over the years, and just to see how well that this team is really coming together.
Speaking of Matt Eberflus from on here, so defense overall, we've seen after that week one debacle in Jacksonville, where Gardner Minshew tore them up. Now Gardner Minshew is probably on the outside looking in now as the Jaguars starting quarterback in 2021, as he's now on the bench due to an injury. But it seems like for now, they're going to start that developmental project, Jake Luton, from the seventh round for the rest of the year, it sounds like, over there in Jacksonville. But I really think we've seen a lot more disguising coverages, a lot more exotic looks from Matt Eberflus over the last two-plus months since that game. What's been your impression of this defense so far? It's really not just a vanilla cover two defense anymore, Steven. We've seen a lot of cover three, a lot of blitzing packages, a lot of man coverage too as well. A lot of mixing it up. And we've been asking for Eberflus to do this for years, honestly, Steven, and he's finally doing it.
And I think this comes down to the personnel that he has. Back when he was playing with Malik Hooker was limited in what he could do. Like, yeah, he was an athletic freak, but he really wasn't a guy that you really trusted to go up into the box and make a hit. Now with the guys that they have in Julian Blackman, Kari Willis, and the defensive backfield that they have, you know, Kenny Moore, Xavier Rhodes, Rocky Steen, they've got players that can really, that are versatile, that can play in this defense and play anywhere. And Matt Eberflus, I think that they feel more comfortable with Julian Blackman and giving him more assignments. You see him on the field now often, and when you see him, he's always around the ball. And so that, I think, is making such a huge impact on the way that they play this defense and the way that they call their defense. They're allowed to be more aggressive, and they feel more comfortable even if they're not aggressive and they just stick with rushing the front four, they still feel comfortable that they're going to be able to make a play. And I think that has to do a lot with the personnel, and they're finally getting the guys to really fit this defense. And it's showing now, especially in the second half of games. Like I said before, it's a night and day difference between how they start games. I mean, I think all of us were probably screaming at the TV in the beginning of the Cincinnati game. And then finally they turned it on in the second half. And similarly, the defense now, I mean, shoot, I think the Dolphins had something like, or not Dolphins, but the Lions had something like 29 rushing yards on the day. The defensive line really has come to play, and they're really setting the tone for this entire defense. And now that they've got those pieces behind them that they feel comfortable with, it's just, they're allowed to be more aggressive and they're allowed to go and just make plays. And that really is just how they're doing things in the Colts organization, and how well Matt Eberflus is putting those pieces together to make himself an elite defense.
Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different when Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is a refresher you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Go to MadeForFootballWatching.com to check out their latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi. Made for football watching. One more player on the defensive side, Stephen, before you jump over to the offense, who, I mean, obviously, Philip Rivers had an impressive day, as did Jordan Wilkins. We're going to have a moment here. But on defense, Bobby Okereke, over the last couple weeks, is really starting to ascend, in my opinion. He's really looking like a star linebacker in this league. And really, I think, starting to phase Anthony Walker out a little bit. Walker not the best game on Sunday, really becoming just a two-down linebacker. He only played 40% of the snaps on Sunday. Okereke and Leonard near 100%. It seems like to me, Steven, that right now I'd be surprised if Walker is back next year, because I just feel like Bobby Okereke, he's showing over the last 3 weeks that he's becoming a true three-down linebacker, one that's very, very, very versatile, and one that really is a perfect fit with Darius Leonard.
Yeah, and that's what the Colts originally said when they had drafted him, is that they expected him to kind of grow into that position. And that's what we had said, talking about the different position battles, is Bobby Okereke is more likely than not going to overtake Anthony Walker. Now, Anthony Walker, I don't know if I'd say that this might be his last year. I know he's going to, this is his contract year. And so I think that they might try to extend him. But Bobby Okereke has taken over a lot of his snaps. Now, in those two games that Darius Leonard didn't play, Anthony Walker was playing a lion's share of the snaps. It's not 100% of the snaps. He was playing the majority of them. So he still is a very valuable piece, and he's still a very valuable player. But, yeah, Darius Leonard, I think, played 100% of snaps, and then Bobby Okereke played something like upper 70s, lower 80s, and I think Anthony Walker played under 50% of snaps this week. And that might be – that honestly might be game-specific, because at that point the Colts were ahead and the Lions weren't able to rush the ball, so they were passing constantly. I think they threw for like 330 yards, something like that. And Anthony Walker isn't the coverage linebacker in that group. Bobby Okereke and Darius Leonard are your clear coverage linebackers. And so based on the defense and what they were playing, I wouldn't necessarily read so far into it that they're going to phase out Anthony Walker, because I do think he's an important part of this defense. But his snaps are clearly being eaten up by Bobby Okereke in that nickel and in that dime situations.
Let's move to the offense now, Stephen. Phillip Rivers, back-to-back weeks now where he's had incredible games. Rivers was 23 of 33 for 3 touchdowns and 0 picks, 262 yards as well, almost 8 yards per attempt to add on to that. I mean, after Phillip Rivers read those press clippings from where the Zach Heaper, Kevin Bowen, Stephen Holder, the rest of that indie media group, it seemed like he's really turned it on, because I know a lot of us were even mentioning, like, even outside the Browns game, we can talk about the Bears game as well, a couple of games before that too as well. It seemed like he was kind of just fading off a little bit. These last two games, granted it's against the Bengals, against the Lions, but very impressed with the bounce that Phillip Rivers has had, 6 touchdowns and 1 pick over that span. It's been really incredible throwing the football down the field, being very smart with it as well. What was your impression of Rivers on Sunday, Stephen, especially in that second quarter where, once again, he had 3 touchdowns in a quarter?
Yeah, I think Phillip Rivers is doing exactly what they're asking him to do, and that is opening it up when they want to open him up. And now that you're seeing Frank Reich be a little bit more comfortable with his play calling, it feels like they're starting to open up the game for Phillip Rivers, and that really plays into his mentality. So we started the season, and everybody was really, really – I think at one point he had more – interceptions to touchdowns. And so we were all kind of saying, you know, is he done? You know, and I people were thinking that. I said, you know, give it some time. You know, it's a new offense, new guys. They didn't have training camp. They didn't get an opportunity to really, you know, get some game action or some live action with each other in practices. Now that they've gotten some of those under their belt, it's good to see Phillip Rivers really clicking. And he's not making – he still sometimes will make that what are you thinking throw where you just kind of put your hands up and go, what are you doing? Why are you throwing that? But for the most part, even those balls are in positions where only his receiver can catch it. And so you're seeing him get more comfortable with the offense. You're seeing him get more comfortable with the wide receivers that he's working with, getting more time, getting to use those tight ends, use the running backs the way that Phillip Rivers really likes to. And so I think the arrow is certainly going up for Phillip Rivers. And this is the quarterback that I expected him to be from the start of the season. And I'm glad that he's kind of showing up now, because this is the stretch of games coming up that really are going to make or break the Colts season and whether they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I was about to mention, Steven, is how good of a sign is it that Rivers is doing this right now when they're heading into this 4-game stretch against the Ravens, Titans, Packers, where he's really finding a groove even without a consistent running game right now. We're going to have Jordan Wilkins in a moment here, and Jonathan Taylor as well, that overall situation at running back. But Rivers even doing this without a ground game is even more impressive than that.
Yeah, he's getting time to throw from him. I know he took 2 sacks this week, but he's able to get time to throw for the most part. And it really is impressive that he's doing this without having a consistent running game, because you're seeing some little runs here and there, and you're seeing the running game hopefully start to pick up here soon. But yeah, it really is impressive that he's able to make this happen. You know, we really kind of would like to see Jordan Wilkins you'll get the starting nod coming up because he's been more consistent this year. And maybe it's the familiarity with the offense and the offensive line and just with the speed of the game that you don't have with Jonathan Taylor. I know that Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers had mentioned that Taylor might be a little nicked up. And so that might be going on. But I'm excited to see once they start really getting that running game going. And I think they will because they ran for 120 yards this past week, which was good for them. But you still don't have a consistent running back one, really, after the Marlon Mack injury. You hope Jonathan Taylor would step into that role, but so far he hasn't. And so I'll be very excited to see what Phillip Rivers can do with a legitimate play action, because that's going to be a bread and butter play right there for them once they really get that running game and get teams to fear that running game a little bit.
Jordan Wilkins on Sunday had a career game, 20 carries, a career high for 89 yards and a touchdown, all over 4.5 yards per carry. Meanwhile, Jonathan Taylor, who did not play much in the second half, like you mentioned, possibly due to an injury, 11 carries for 22 yards, only 2 yards per carry. What was your impression of the rushing attack on Sunday, Steven, where I feel like they're starting to slowly build it up and Jordan Wilkins kind of getting that momentum punch they needed over there?
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins is, I might have said it on this podcast earlier in the season, he's one of those guys that whenever he gets an opportunity to play, he finds his holes, he does his job, he gets positive yardage. He's got great vision, and he had great vision coming out of college. And that was one of the biggest things for him and one of the things that I was really excited about him as a prospect was his vision and just ability to find the hole and hit the hole. And you're seeing that here in the NFL. One of the plays that I remember is he had hit behind the line of scrimmage, should have been a 3-yard loss. He turned it into a 12-yard gain because he was able to get out of that tackle and then saw the hole and just hit it. And that's one of those things where I think that Jonathan Taylor will learn that because his vision was never a problem at Wisconsin. And you see him just kind of hesitating a little bit, and it might be a lack of familiarity with the offense, might be the speed of the game where he's just got to get himself used to it. Because, again, these rookies didn't have training camp. They didn't have an opportunity to really acclimate to the speed of the NFL and to the speed of these professional football players before just being kind of tossed into the Sharks. And so Jonathan Wilkins has been kind of a breath of fresh air for the Colts offense because he is so able to do everything that they ask. He can pass block. He can catch out of the backfield if he needs to. He's a very patient runner, but has good vision and can hit the hole. So he's an ideal backup running back for this Colts offense with Marlon Mack going down and with Jonathan Taylor kind of struggling thus far. So I don't feel that there's such a huge drop-off going to Jordan Wilkins, and I'm excited for him to get an opportunity. And I hope the coaching staff gives him an opportunity after going and playing as well as he did this past week.
Moving ahead now, I mean, let's say Taylor is okay and he's good to go fully on Sunday, or even in a limited role. The rest of the year, I mean, honestly, what you mentioned, Jordan Wilkins, he always does very well when given an opportunity. He showed again this past Sunday, really helping get this momentum going for the rushing attack. Do you feel like the rest of the year we should see more of a 50-50, maybe 60-40 split between Taylor and Wilkins in the running game?
I hope so. Because unless if Jonathan Taylor really kind of picks it up and all of a sudden everything clicks, then I think that you'll see him get more carries. But I do hope that there's going to be a little bit more of a 50-50 split. They go with the hot hand. And obviously this past week, that hot hand was clearly Jordan Wilkins. So I'm glad that they didn't try to force Taylor in there and take away time from Wilkins when he was really playing well. But I do think that you're probably going to see more of a 50-50, 60-40 split between the two going forward.
Let's hit on Nyheim Hines before we go into the last part of our show, talk about this Ravens game and also the stretch coming for the Colts. Incredible game from Nyheim Hines again. Almost reminded me of the Panthers game last year. I mean, of course, that was a special teams game from Hines, but this one in the receiving game, 3 receptions, 54 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 super impressive touchdowns to fact there. That's been at the end of the first one. Does the pirouette gymnastics in the end zone for both those touchdowns there that went viral on Twitter, as you all know. But Nyheim Hines, I feel like, should be used more often in this offense, and it kind of showed on Sunday. he can be that sort of Paris Campbell-esque guy in their offense. And I even tweeted out on Twitter on Sunday during the game that why not use Nyheim Hines more in that Paris Campbell role? Use him as a gadget guy in the slot or outside of the running back. Just like flare it out to him a little bit. I really think if Hines could be that player that they're missing in this offense as far as that speed goes, they didn't use DeMichael Harris yesterday at all. Number 12, as you guys all know, that played really well against the Bengals. I really think that Hines could be that guy for them, Steven, until Paris Campbell returns. What do you think about Hines' game on Sunday and also his role moving forward?
Yeah, I think that they used Hines similar to how they used him at the beginning of the year against Jacksonville. And that was – it's good for Nyheim Hines. It's really his forte is catching the ball out of the backfield and being a little bit shifty, making guys miss versus what they did for a handful of games in there is they try to run in between the tackles, which just wasn't working. So I'm glad to see that they've adjusted their game plan with Nyheim Hines and are using him more in space because that's where he is lethal. And like you said, that's where Paris Campbell was lethal. As you get him in space and he's able to make a play, he makes one guy miss and he's gone. And that's how it was with Nyheim Hines this past week. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned his celebration. That was maybe the most impressive thing that I saw during Sunday's game. And there were a lot of impressive things from the Colts. But to get a impressive a quote tweet from Simone Biles about how impressive his acrobatic work was and his gymnastics work. That's always fun to see. But as a whole, I think Nyheim Hines is one of those players that he should be used more. It's the same thing with Jordan Wilkins. Is I wouldn't be upset if they started to push carries, push touches to Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins because those guys have really shown that when given an opportunity, they perform well. And you just got to keep going with your hot hand, and I just think that's a smart way to coach.
Colts fans, Built Bar is back. It's even more delicious. They have 6 new flavors to go with the original 12 to make it the best-tasting protein bar on the market. The Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy as well. He can lose and maintain weight while indulging a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for a keto diet. For example, the Peanut Butter Brownie Built Bar has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, and only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. That's a great-tasting protein bar that'll tide you over throughout the day. And the Peanut Butter Brownie one especially is my favorite one. It really is so good. I can't say enough about it. But the Built Bar has a great promo going for you as well. A free cooler for the next person at Built Bars while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Again, that's BuiltBar.com, and go there for 20% off your next order of Built Bars. Moving on now to the Ravens game on Sunday, a huge one for the Colts, who, by the way, the Ravens are going to be missing some key players. Marlon Humphrey tested positive for COVID-19 earlier today. He's going to be out on Sunday. Ronnie Stanley, of course, could be out on Sunday. He had a big injury last Sunday against the Steelers. So they're missing their left tackle and their star cornerback, Mark Ingram, their backup running back to J.K. Dobbins, the star rookie running back behind Lamar Jackson, is out as well. So the Ravens come in a little bit battered and bruised after that Pittsburgh game. The Colts could be coming around the perfect opportunity here, Steven. They're 3.5-point underdogs per DraftKings, so they're not the favorites in this one. But I have a hard time thinking why the Colts can't be favorites because – Lamar Jackson has not been good at all so far this year. He's been very up and down. This Colts defense has the recipe to go against Lamar Jackson. They have that front four of Buckner. They have the spies and Okereke and Leonard, a good disciplined secondary as well. The Ravens really don't have much outside weapons except Hollywood Brown. I just feel like the Colts match up very, very well against this Ravens team. What do you think is going to happen here on Sunday, Steven?
Yeah, I think that I'm a little surprised that the line's as big as it is, being 3.5. I think it should be closer. I think it probably should be a pick 'em game because the Colts defensively really match up well against the Ravens. Like you said, they've got that front four. They've got the speed at the linebacker position. And Lamar Jackson has some faults. And the Tennessee Titans last year really kind of highlighted those in that he really can't throw the ball more than like 15 to 30 yards really accurately. And if you can contain him in the pocket and force him to make those throws and are able to keep that spy on him and not let him get out, he can be kind of neutralized to a point. The Colts run defense is the top in the league, if not the top in the league, a top three run defense. And that's really Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens' bread and butter is the running game and using Lamar Jackson as kind of a running back in a way, because he is incredibly athletic. And so I think that for the Colts to win, this is a really good matchup for the Colts, and to hit them when, you know, Ronnie Stanley is now out. So they're going to be down their left tackle, which you never like to see that from having a player get hurt. Same thing with Marlon Humphrey. You never like to see a player contract a virus that'll keep him out. But it does happen to be at an opportune time for the Colts. So their Ravens as a whole are not a super disciplined team. And so they've been penalized a lot. I could see the Colts taking advantage of that. I don't see the Ravens. I don't see this being a blowout. And obviously neither does Vegas for that matter. But I think the Colts match up better against the Ravens than they do against some of the other teams, other top teams, just because of the speed on defense, their discipline that they show. They're able to take advantage of weaknesses the opponents have, and it happens to fall right into the Colts' strength. So, like, again, the Colts' run defense is top in the league. The Ravens focus on the run. So the Colts could effectively neutralize the run defense, put the onus on Lamar Jackson to make passes. You bracket coverage Hollywood Brown, so then he can't get over top of you. And then you put you can either put Leonard or Okereke on Mark Andrews, who is the tight end. It's Lamar Jackson's biggest safety valve. And those guys can cover him. You could also put Kyrie Willis on him and feel comfortable having coverage on that tight end. After that, the Ravens don't have a lot. It's Willie Snead. Do you feel confident if you're a Ravens fan that Willie Snead's going to be the guy that leads your team to victory over the Colts? I wouldn't. And if the Colts coaching staff can really put those things together, and I think they've got an opportunity to put the Colts in a great position to win this week. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts pull out a victory.
Let's hit on our predictions here for this game real quick before we just dive into our general thoughts of this stretch coming up here in November. That's really going to make or break the Colts season. I'm going to go with an upset here, just based off the Vegas odds. I'm going to go 24-16. The Colts win over the Ravens. I think we're going to see a slugfest game. If Phillip Rivers keeps the ball clean, if the Colts defense comes up to play well against the run, I just don't see how the Ravens match up well against this Colts team if they do just play disciplined and strong football. So I'll go 24-16, a touchdown win for the Colts over the Ravens to move them ahead of them in the standings. Steven, what do you think is going to happen here on Sunday?
Ooh, that's a great, great question. So I'm going to say that it is, you said 24-16, so you're putting it at like a 40-point. They spread over this over-under is anywhere from 49 to 51. So I'm going to say, I'm going to put it at like 27-21. Colts, I say they win by six. And so that's where I'm gonna put it at. I feel confident in the Colts being able to shut down the Ravens, but I don't think that they're gonna keep them completely bottled up. I feel like the Ravens are gonna get a little bit of a lead to start the game, because that's been the Colts' MO the past couple weeks, is to give up a couple early touchdowns. And I think the defense is gonna really shut them down the second half.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a really fun game on Sunday. Arguably the most important game of the year for the Colts. They got to start out this stretch here strong. This really show they're either contenders or pretenders this year in the AFC, which is really loaded across the board right now. But let's hit on that schedule just throughout the month of November. They have, of course, the Ravens in a short week at Tennessee. You have to also go to home against Green Bay, and you have to also go again and play Tennessee the week after that. So Titans twice in 4 weeks. You have the Packers and Ravens stands between there. Just how important is this stretch for the Colts?
I mean, it's incredibly important. Right now, they're tied for the top of the division at 5-2 with Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't have an easy schedule coming up either. So if the Colts can come out of this at 3-1, I think that's a fantastic – I think they are elated to come out of this quarter, this four-game stretch here at 3-1. I think the one loss could potentially be at Tennessee, that Thursday night game. Thursday night games – as a whole are very difficult for teams, especially for the traveling team. And now, especially during the age of COVID, in terms of trying to travel, the only good part about that is it is a 5-hour drive to Tennessee. And so it's, you know, maybe an hour flight down there, so it's not as much air travel time. So if they flew down day of the game, day before the game, there's not as much of a jet lag situation as it would if they were flying across the country for a Thursday night game. I think that the Packers are incredibly inconsistent at this point. You saw Tampa Bay just kind of lay a licking on them. Packers struggled, I think, against Minnesota this week. And I'm not as convinced that they are this juggernaut that they looked like to start the season. And then you've got Tennessee. I think the Colts are I think the Colts will win this week against Baltimore, and then we'll get a win against or lose to Tennessee, win against Green Bay, and then they'll come back home and they'll beat Tennessee here at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be such a big stretch for this team to see whether they are truly a top contender in the AFC or not. Of course, you play against the Packers, who, of course, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Lamar Jackson and Ryan Tannehill this month on the schedule, where the Colts got to capitalize not only on defense, but also Philip Rivers is to really play his best ball of the year throughout this stretch. So really appreciate everyone listening on today's podcast. Back to you guys, of course, tomorrow for next episode. You guys can go follow Stephen, though, on Twitter if you're not already, at Nice Read. Stephen, go read his work and listen to his work over at Stampede Blue. Stephen, appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.